The mining industry in South Africa remains paralysed in uncertainty as the deadline for the finalisation of the mining charter has been pushed back to November. Well, the comments close in August, but expectations are it will be gazetted around October, November. We've got the minister lambasting mining companies for taking strategic decisions to place shafts on care and maintenance, while we've got the industry bemoaning the slow pace of exploration and our lack of global competitiveness, and labour pointing to the alarming number of deaths experienced this year so far after several years of much improved safety. Well, I'm joined now by Roger Baxter, CEO of the Minerals Council of South Africa. Almost called you the chamber there. Evening, Roger.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, the draft, let's face it, mining charter is the big talking point. It is better than its predecessor, but it still falls far short of the sort of regulatory framework required for a thriving mining sector capable of boosting economic growth and creating jobs. You've expressed your concern specifically with the requirement of a 10% free carry on new mining rights as part of that proposed 30% BEE ownership target. Has the minister been open to talking on this issue or perhaps even amending this?
So, Michael, yeah, I think it's obviously a very big issue. You know, clearly the mining sector has effectively gone backwards over the course of the last two decades. In real GDP terms, we're actually the same size that we were back in 1994, 2018. And as a percent of GDP, we've gone from literally 15% in 1994 to about 7% presently. So it's not exactly given us a view that the industry is competitive. And if you look at our current investment attractiveness rating, which is currently sitting at 47 out of 90 mining jurisdictions in terms of the Fraser Institute survey, of which we rated number 80 out of 91 for the competitiveness of our policies, you know, we are nowhere where we should actually be. So to get into the charter, I mean, we all support the 3% BEE target in the new mining charter or the proposed draft on new mining rights. We think that that's workable. But obviously a 10% free carry is a big challenge. And the issue is that, you know, South Africa have a huge pipeline of these brilliant investable projects which can carry a 10% free carry. And the answer is simply no. So, you know, in our particular view, it's not going to add to the competitiveness of the industry. It's actually going to end up detracting. And only the real creme de la creme projects will end up going ahead.
And the minister has repeatedly taken aim at industry for its decision to place certain shafts on care and maintenance as part of their production strategies. You talk about this issue of exploration and how many projects are actually out there at the moment. Exploration has all but ground to a halt in South Africa, hasn't it?
I mean, look at the numbers. South Africa last year accounted for 1% of global exploration expenses. So, you know, everyone give a particular view that South Africa's got this most incredible mineral resource endowment, but we only account for 1%. I mean, the rest of Africa accounts for another 15%. Australia by itself accounts for 14%, Canada for 14%, and we account for a miserly 1%, of which, of that 1%, 9% is brownfields exploration around existing mines, basically proving up what the deposits look like around existing mines. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is that South Africa is not attracting the level of interest and investment in exploration spend that we should, and there's a very small project pipeline coming through. And instead of focusing on shafts that are on maintenance, and the mining companies that have put those shafts on maintenance have obviously taken strategic decisions which where that shaft may be contributing and, in fact, may be significantly detracting from the viability of an overall mining company. And, you know, putting it on maintenance is not a decision that's made lightly, and it's pretty unlikely that some other operator can just come and run that shaft, that mine, better than the existing operator. So I think it's not quite as simple as all that. But I think the tragedy for South Africa is there's just not a huge pipeline of new projects, which are really fantastic projects that we could be looking at, because exploration effectively has been dead for the last decade.
Roger, you conducted a survey recently amongst your members. What if we were rated in the top 25% of investment destinations globally? If we turned things around from a regulatory and policy perspective and rolled out the red carpet to capital, what would your members invest over and above the current CapEx plans?
So, Michael, I think what's important about that particular project we did at the end of last year was to say, well, listen, if we're in the top 25% of investment destinations at the global level, how much additional investment would the mining companies make our members in South Africa in the course of the next 4 to 5 years? And the answer that they gave was simple. They said we would invest another 84%, I think the exact number is, over above our existing CAPEX plan, because we would be in a much better space from a competitiveness point of view. So just in mind that being in the top 25% of invest nations means that a lot of things work which don't work as well as they should at the moment. Infrastructure would be good. The regulatory frameworks would be competitive, stable, and predictable. The security situation would be better in terms of the impact of communities closing down mines, you know, would be employment relations, stability, et cetera, et cetera. I think the tragedy is that we currently ranked 8 of 91 jurisdictions for our policy attractiveness or our policy scorecard, but our potential is quite clearly illustrated by the fact that we rated 20 in the world, 20 out of 91 jurisdictions for our mineral potential, assuming best practice. So we've got the potential sitting there, but to realize means that we have to become a lot more competitive, and that's where we're not at the moment. So just the fact, nearly a doubling investment over the next 4 to 5 years in mining, another 50,000 direct jobs or 150,000 jobs in total add onto the existing mining contribution. And it's a sector which has such huge linkages to the rest of the economy that those supplier effects will be felt in the supply industries and the downstream industries, except boosting overall economic growth. So, you know, it would really help the country enormously in this very difficult period that it's in.
And as you rightfully point out, that that multiplier effect of the industry, the fact that it is such a flywheel in various small towns and cities across the country cannot be ignored. I mean, one drives just through the Haynesburg region to see some of those old forests that were used to supply mining shafts and construction now being turned to other nut plantations, because we're just not seeing the sort of investment levels that we used to. When we drill down into some of the issues around the charter, this whole issue of ownership seems to be completely misunderstood. We no longer have the landlords of 50 years ago owning huge stakes in major miners. It's ordinary South Africans through their pension funds that are ultimately the owners of mining companies. Why is it still such an us and a them type approach when this issue of ownership is negotiated at the table?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the ownership of the industry has transformed enormously as we sit here over the course of the last 20 years, as millions of South Africans through their pension funds, and listed, even at the height of the Oppenheimer's impact on ownership of Anglo American, they owned a total maximum of 9% of the actual equity of Anglo American at the time. I mean, the point of departure here is it's not about mining magnates that drive and set the agendas or anyone operating out of London, et cetera. It's millions of shareholders, both in South Africa and in other countries around the world. It's about a 50-50 split. As well as the Public Investment Commissioner in South Africa, which obviously represents civil service salaries, and the Industrial Development Corporation own a very significant portion of South Africa's mining sector. Now, the simple fact of the matter is that the ownership questions, and I think, you know, we were fully supportive and remain fully supportive of encouraging a diversified ownership base within the economy. I guess, Michael, the key issue is how. Now, obviously, what's been proposed in the current draft charter is a 30% target. We fully in sync and fully agree with that 30% target. But the government have included a 5% free carry for communities and a 5% free carry for labor. What that effectively means is that the other shareholders who basically fund 100% of the project have to effectively carry the whole thing and only get potentially 90% of the benefit. But remember that also there are further discounts that are applied to mining 20% of the BE share. So there might be even a bigger discount in place. And that can affect the project economics in a way which means that those projects simply don't go ahead. In other words, the investment hurdle rates simply rise, and only a smaller number of the $10 creme projects end up going ahead. So I think the challenge that we have here, we understand what government is trying to do in terms of equity interests for communities and organized labor. But, you know, our suggestion is that there are other ways of achieving that without causing the potential disruptive impact on investment. And let's face it, we absolutely have to get investment flowing back into the sector. And investment is only attracted if you have a competitive environment where projects are viable, you know, and really get long-term benefits. So, I mean, maybe one way to just give you a perspective on this is last year, if you looked at the PricewaterhouseCoopers numbers for the value created in the mining sector, it's interesting to note that 40% of the value created went to organized labor in the form of salaries and wages and bonuses. 19% went to government, and shareholders got 2% of the total. Now, the shareholders sit at last to benefit in the queue, and I guess the challenge that we have here is that, you know, if everyone else has a bigger and bigger share, ultimately shareholders get squares, and they are the people that enable the project to go ahead.
Well, and the communities here, Roger, just to interject, it raises a question. If you want communities to then become shareholders, is equity the right way to go for communities who are looking for the dividends to flow down into their communities immediately?
And the simple reality, Michael, is that, you know, we've got 70% of our gold sector and 70% of our platinum sector underwater at current prices. In other words, loss-making or marginal. And then many operations which may not see a dividend being paid for the next 5 or 10 years. Is ownership, which comes with a set of responsibilities and obligations at the same time, the right route to follow? Or is it a guaranteed benefit stream or much better collaboration between government and the industry and the way that we deliver community development? I mean, let's face it. Last year, there was 53 billion rand that was returned by municipalities back to central government that had been unspent in those municipalities, which were being used for community development, as an example. Now, combined with the efforts of the industry through our social aid plans and much better capacity of local government, would have a huge impact on community development. I think just putting the onus on the mining companies to manage this community development issue or community helping on community development through SLPs and this 5% free carry, what about the roles and responsibilities of the other stakeholders? And I think that's a question mark that we've been asking.
Roger, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for your time. And I must point out that it is government that makes the policies which have these economic impacts and surely must be held accountable for decisions which have rendered the mining industry largely sterilized in terms of exploration and new investments. Thanks for your time.
Good pleasure.
That was Roger Baxter, CEO of the Mineral Council of South Africa, talking about what has befallen the mining industry over the last two decades and what we need to do to get things right and start ensuring that all stakeholders benefit from a growing mining sector rather than trying to slice up one that is shrinking its way into the sunset.